talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
First, there was darkness. Then came the strangers.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
When they got home, he went around to open the car door for his girlfriend, and there, hanging from the handle, a bloody hook.
Newsflash, we're screwed.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey's...
He ripped her face off!
I know I'm not like the rest of you hippies, caring about the kids' feelings as if they're real.
Ooh, ooh!
Could we maybe try something a little more black?
Why the hole gotta be black?
Lisa, you're never gonna get a husband by being sarcastic.
You know.
Oh, Lisa, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Lisa.
You're an idiot.
And now...
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. That,
yes.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Nope.
Come on.
Turkey things are going to happen. Gobble.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window
pane.
Some of Omar's best work, if you want my opinion.
Don't do drugs, I think is what the message is here.
Forgot how great this was.
Thanksgiving cooks,
all right, big fitted.
Outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
I only regret that we could only play it for 3 days this week. I just wish Thanksgiving were on Friday so we'd have more Thanksgiving cooks.
Oh, me too. It's such a shame.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Callie. Appreciate that. And also, Butterball Turkey Hotline this week, too, because we got that.
Wednesday's pretty tough. I mean, Wednesday's pretty packed already.
I think we've got room to squeeze it in.
Not sure.
Anyway, so how are we doing?
We good.
Good morning.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Good morning, Callie. How are you?
Good.
Callie's good. That's all I know.
How did you get to be Callie while I was on vacation, Lisa?
I don't know.
What happened?
That was Dr. Ray said it, and I didn't want to correct him because, you know, honestly, who cares? And then, of course, our fine listeners, within 5 minutes, were calling me Callie.
That's right. Yeah, we got him on the air.
And now that's it.
That's
Callie
what she thinks.
Yeah. It didn't take long to change my name.
Nope.
You would think, as the news broad, that you would get a little more respect than that. People would go, hey, let's give her due and call her by her real name. But apparently now you're Callie. So
I'm
now
Callie. My sister-in-law immediately Facebooked me. Hey, Callie, how's it going?
Excellent.
That's awesome. So, Kevin, what happened to your team last night, brother?
Don't even know.
Last night, Lisa, was the championship of Major League Soccer, and it was in Seattle, down at Quest Field, and it was Kevin's Los Angeles Galaxy, who he loves, versus Real Salt Lake.
Yeah.
If that's even really a team. I never heard of them before. But tell the kids what happened.
Well, it was a tie game, so they go into overtime, and it was tied at the end of overtime, so they go into penalty kicks.
Oh, right.
And, by the way, and we have our backup goalie in, because our goalie got injured. He's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
The guys get up to shoot, and the league MVP, the best player in MLS, Landon Donovan, who never, ever misses a penalty kick. He's the guy you want there. He's the guy that wants to be there. It's like Kobe at the end of the game. You just go, all right, you know, misses the goal entirely, right up over the top. If the goalie were to drop dead just before he took it, he wouldn't have scored.
Wow.
It's not just that the goalie got in front of it. The goalie didn't have to get in front of it. It sailed over the goal net.
Yeah,
what
that happened.
What happened?
I don't know.
It was so bizarre. I mean, you would have bet $1,000 on him getting it in the goal, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, at least hitting, you know, the whole,
yeah.
The rule is you have to make it inside the goal somewhere. The goalie might stop it, he might not, but if you don't make it in, you know, if you don't hit the goal, you don't have a chance.
Right.
And this is a guy who hasn't missed him all year. He hasn't missed him for the U.S. team. He's maybe one of the best in the MLS at penalty kicks.
Dude, and, he was paid off.
It paid off. That's what it was, right? A scandal.
Right.
And by the way, we always talk about championship games, whether it's a Super Bowl or it's a Game 7 of the World Series. When it comes down to 1 minute from now, one of these teams is going to be the champion and the other one is going to be going home in defeat.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to happen. It couldn't be more tense when you get to that point in a game.
And
I think soccer, maybe even more than any other. I mean, maybe a guy shooting a free throw or something like that or kicking a field goal, those are pretty tense. But I mean, the soccer thing, the tension just ratchets up with every guy that gets up. I mean, it's crazy.
And you're laying on the floor, you're screaming, you're yelling, and then and then you see Donovan walk up and you go, all right now.
I feel
at least
better.
We got this one.
Let's count this one. This is going to be good. Now, who's after him, I wonder, because what just happened?
Oh, man.
So they end up losing 5-4 on penalty kicks.
I texted Soccer Scott, who you know works with us, who's as rabid a Galaxy fan as there is, and you know what his plan was last night. It was to drink himself to be so drunk that he would forget the game happened.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. Yeah. He was devastated. So that happened.
Good times.
Sorry.
Good times. At least the Kings in hockey, at least they didn't get scored on in 13 seconds on Saturday.
You need new teams.
Face off, pass, goal. I was just going, wait a minute, I haven't even sat down yet. How do you score already? It was a rough weekend.
Oh, man.
Hey, I there was so much on TV last night with the game and with the American Music Awards and Curb Your Enthusiasm and all that I did not see how the Eagles game ended up. Who ended up winning that?
I don't know.
Eagles won.
Oh, good.
24-20, I'm being told. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good news for those of us that work with a certain Eagles fan. Makes a big difference on a Monday.
All right, time for your phone calls. Let's get going. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, we got a couple of lines open for you at 1-800-520-1067. Pick up the phone, be one of the first on the air for a new week, and here's what you get. You know that K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert that's coming up in a couple of weeks? You know that big show with all those great bands?
Yep, I've heard about it.
We're going to give you CDs from all the artists performing on night number one. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
That's too much generally for these calls, but okay. What, Joseph?
I felt your pain, Kevin.
Oh.
I felt your pain.
Yeah.
We were like the only two people watching that game in all of America.
Probably, yeah.
Hey, I was watching
Bean
it last
night. Bean was. I had a bunch of people over, you know.
Oh, wow. You did the whole thing.
Viewing party, food, and then just, hey, all right, good.
All right, see you later.
Hey, Callie, aren't you surprised? I emailed Kevin yesterday. I'm like, dude, you totally should have come to Seattle. You could have gone to the game, seen it in person, and then come over and broadcast from my house today. How fun would that have been?
How fun would that have been, Kevin?
You know, it's funny. We talked about that last week, but we knew you wouldn't want that. But so that's why we thought it would be funny if I just showed up.
Right. Then it's fun.
I would have invited you if I'd have thought about it. That would have been super fun.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I might even have gone with you.
But the problem. Yeah, don't get crazy. The problem is that I would have gone out with Soccer Scott, and I still wouldn't be back.
That's true.
Yeah. You'd be texting for directions to my house right now.
Yeah, that was rough.
All right, thank you for the call, Joseph. Let's try Pedro, please. He's on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Pedro, what's up?
What it do, Callie?
Tell us.
So I was flipping through the channels last night after the football game, and I caught the last hour of the American Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And how gay was that Adam Lambert performance?
Wait a minute. How dare you suggest that boy's gay?
I mean, you can hardly tell he is, but really.
What song did he sing? I didn't see.
Huh?
What song did he sing?
I have no clue.
Just gay?
It was, here's the thing. Adam Lambert, there's a lot of anticipation built up for him because his album, for folks who don't recognize the name, he was the runner-up, but for some people, the most popular contestant on last season's American Idol. His album comes out tomorrow. And last night was his first ever live performance on any show outside of American Idol. And they saved it till the very end of the program.
Right.
And so there was a lot of anticipation for it. And it was a terrible song. A terrible song.
Really?
But the one thing, and I don't know if he did this, I don't know if this was choreographed. Tell me what you think, Pedro. I don't know if it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. Is he took the back of the head of one of his backup dancers and shoved it into his crotch during the performance.
All right.
Yeah, that was totally not appropriate at all.
All right. Because you know what's going through his mind at the time was, I'm not sure people know I'm gay. That was exactly what he was thinking. I better
I drive this point home to even blind people that I'm gay?
I better ratchet it up a bit.
Yeah, that was a very strange thing. And I was trying to think. You know, he's a very smart guy. He did a very good job of the image that he wanted to project during American Idol. I wonder if he thought this is something that'll be controversial, or this is something that, you know, will get me some attention. I just wonder his thought process was.
I don't watch American Idol, but was he the guy that was kind of Freddie Mercury-esque, an amazing voice?
Yes. Great voice. Yeah. Way over sang it last night, though. I mean, it was just all over the place. It was not a good controlled performance at all. But
all right, let's go to Art on the same topic. Hey, Art.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you do?
How about J-Lo falling yesterday during her performance?
She fell?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
She did. It was one of those deals where she climbs up onto her dancers' backs kind of thing and then jumps off onto the stage and she fell. But just for a second, I thought she recovered pretty nicely, didn't you, Art?
Yeah, she did pretty good. She recovered, but it was funny seeing her fall.
For some reason, it really is funny to watch people fall.
Absolutely.
I do that all day. Especially celebrities and, you know, singers. They're not necessarily athletes or anything.
The more people watching them, the funnier it is.
Yeah, it is funny. Where else should we go? We have a lot of calls, but let's talk to Andrew real quick. Hey, Andrew.
What to do, nephew?
This has been one of the most bizarre stories since the very beginning when Brock Lesnar pulled out of his fight. And what have you heard, Andrew?
I've heard he's out for a year and he's got to get rid of his title.
Because?
Because of mono.
Really?
Because of mono. Now, when this story broke, he pulled out, he was in the hospital, and then Dana White said, it's very serious, he may never fight again.
Right.
And we were like, what could he possibly have?
We were thinking leukemia or something.
Yeah.
I mean, mono, you come back from.
And it's not necessarily a year, is it? I mean, can it be a month?
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the long-term repercussions are in terms of how much strength you lose. I mean, it does pretty much wipe you out for some time. But, yeah, it shouldn't be a year out of the ring for mono. I wouldn't think, no.
Huh.
I don't know. Andrew sounds shaky to me.
But if that's the case, he has to give up his belt? Somebody else could take it for now? Or?
I don't know. I don't know if he can have it taken away without fighting.
So someone has to go to his house?
Beat him up,
beat him up there? Take it from him?
That is bizarre.
All right.
I'd be surprised if it's mono. That may be the cover story, but I don't know what it really is.
Based on what Dana White said last week, it really seemed like it was something much more extreme than that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because his comments wouldn't make sense if it was just mono.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. He's usually a pretty straight shooter, too.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
I like it. I like that. A little respect now and then. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. We have Mark Headley, who has written a book called Blown for Good, which is not what it sounds.
So is Adam Lambert's album called, by the way. Hey, have you read this yet? Have you seen this
book
read
yet? A bunch of it, yeah.
Is it good?
It's great.
Oh, I can't wait.
It only starts with him on a motorcycle trying to escape Scientology and in a van of thugs from Scientology running him off the road.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And then the police getting called, and then when they realize what's going on, they escort him into town. Because they know the tactics can get rough.
Wow.
And then I put it down this weekend. I didn't have any more time, but it was when he was auditing. Is that what they call it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was happening.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. We have Seth Green on the program today.
Okay.
Got to hear about Bean's vacation last week as his rental car got stolen.
That's what I heard.
Or did it.
Well, stolen might be a strong word. Maybe misplaced.
Let's just say I spent some of my vacation in the police station and in the police cruiser, by the way.
Which is more true of me than you usually, but all right, no problem. And also on today's show, we have to talk about how being on this show has ruined all of our lives personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that about?
Just, you'll know once we talk about it, you'll
totally get it.
We didn't describe in depth, but as soon as we start talking about it, you'll get it. Yeah. You'll get it, because it's just bad on every level. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ralph has the showbiz beat. He'll do that next. Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 5:52.
Hey.
I know what you're thinking. Now that Kevin and Bean have already played Local H, why stick around? Well, we've got Kings of Leon coming up, also Red Hot Chili Peppers, Muse, Queens of the Stone Age, and more. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for the week.
We don't have a camera?
We don't have the sound effect machine. That's good. Just do it with your mouth. That's good. I think people know what that is.
All right. What a weekend.
What a weekend. Who would have thought that the best game in the NFL would have been Browns-Lions?
Lisa, do you remember when we had Andrew Siciliano on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, hands down, the worst game of the weekend. Maybe the worst game of the season.
I remember that.
Browns-Lions.
Turns out to be just the opposite.
Really?
One of the best games of the season.
That's the beauty of the NFL.
Unbelievable.
You can never predict what's going to happen.
Back and forth, back and forth. But between the two of them, they scored like 80 points.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy.
And it goes down to a pass interference call in the end zone with no time left on the clock. And you got a rookie quarterback with a busted shoulder.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of drama. And that Giants-Falcons game was unbelievable, too, by the way.
Yeah, they came back, too, to go into overtime and then blew it. But good weekend in sports. Good weekend in the movies, too, as we do every Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Turns out people like werewolves. And vampires.
Yeah.
Sure.
And lady men. The Twilight Saga New Moon made $140 million this past weekend.
Wow!
Only that much?
Just $140 million.
Is that a record?
It is not.
Mm.
It is a third in biggest weekends ever, right behind The Dark Knight and Spider-Man 3. But
pretty good company.
Yeah.
Pretty spectacular. Made over $72 million in its first day alone on Friday, by the way.
Wow.
To count in the midnight screenings.
And by the way, we should mention all of this despite the fact that it apparently sucks.
I went.
What?
Listen, I love vampires.
Hey now, what?
I love vampires. You know that. I have to. If
you don't love Fruit Loops?
No. And it was full of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Was it good, Kevin?
Well, no.
Did your daughters want to go?
No, I went by myself.
What?
Oh!
What?
After I love, a week of you
because I love vampires.
Oh,
but
my
you
God.
Can get vampires now on so many different
you can.
Entertainment outlets. That you can
went
completely
by yourself.
Avoid Twilight and get your daily dose of vampirism anywhere.
I put my my top 10 questions/complaints about the movie on the website today.
Okay.
And wow. First of all, Edward wears nothing but lipstick and is more gay than Adam Lambert. So the fact that anyone would choose him over anyone else is ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't know about that because I didn't go to see it.
Kevin, don't you at least go up to a woman you don't know and ask her to go in with you as a beard? I mean, seriously, what are you doing going by yourself?
I go by myself to the movies all the time. My wife doesn't like scary movies, whatever, so I just, it doesn't
especially
bother me.
Especially when you're looking to meet guys in the back row, which apparently right. you are when you're going to see Twilight.
Oh, that wasn't, yeah.
You are dead to me.
they were predicting like Iron Man numbers, like a little over $100 million for the weekend.
Yeah.
This blew away even the Twilight people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crushed. Because who knew Kevin was throwing his money into the coffers.
Right.
We got no hope if Kevin's is on their side.
Well, what are you going to do?
Blindside was number two at the box office this weekend. I would have preferred you go to see that. It would have been less of a chick flick. At least there was some football involved in that.
Yeah.
Even though Sandra Bullock's in it.
Yeah.
2012 was third. Planet 51, the new animated film, is fourth on the list with $12.6 million. Then A Christmas Carol, Precious, The Men Who Stare at Goats, Couples Retreat, The Fourth Kind, and Law-Abiding Citizen, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Nicole Richie spent the week in Cedars-Sinai Hospital.
You didn't do the sound effect.
I know. Nicole Richie spent a week at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center with pneumonia.
Hmm.
That's what they claim. Some people speculated she's just sick of Joel Madden, which is more likely. But apparently she's home now and recovering and all is well.
Okay.
Over the weekend, John Gosselin was in the news.
Hey!
What a surprise.
Made a big splash at his arbitration hearing over the weekend with his wife, future ex-wife, Kate, by showing up with a dozen roses for her at their arbitration.
Oh, what?
What?
No.
That's an FU, isn't it? I mean, really, that's not...
It's a little late for roses, don't you think?
But it can't be, like, serious. That has to be an FU.
I guess.
Right?
He doesn't want to get back together with her, does
he,
Ralph?
No, they hate each other.
I can't imagine.
Unless he sees his income disappearing rapidly.
Well, yeah. Because he can get back on TV if he gets back together with
her. Tonight is the final episode of John and Kate Plus Hate, by the way.
Oh, this is the one that you said where they're going to do like a touching...
A retrospective with slow motion and sappy music behind it about their lives together. The TLC network has canceled the show. This is the end of the show for both of them. Although no word saying whether they'll both go on to separate shows or something like that.
I hate to say it, but Kate seems to be popular enough that she may end up getting another show out of this.
Hope. She probably will.
Who could have predicted it would go that way?
Yeah.
Although yeah, John, you're right.
At least she has a personality.
See, John interviewed on one of the morning shows. It's either Good Morning America or Today Show. And they said, so what's the future hold for you now? He goes, well, television is my business. So I'll be looking for other television opportunities because that is my career now. Yeah, it's magical.
If you don't know who we're talking about, you are the lucky few. And count your blessings.
And good news for me, two of my favorite things. It's like peanut butter and chocolate and one piece of candy.
Mixed.
Just announced they're making a big-budget, big-screen version of a little-known science fiction series from England that was on in the 70s called UFO, which is a little cult series, which I loved.
Okay.
And they're making a big-budget, big-screen version of that, and Joshua Jackson from Fringe will be starring in the film.
How about that?
The show is about a secret organization battling aliens who are abducting humans and taking their body parts.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great storyline.
Bean
it was a really cool show.
Bean loves his aliens.
I'm in.
So you can look for Fringe star Joshua Jackson to be working in a new movie, which I'm glad to see. You've been watching Fringe, by the way?
I'm a little behind.
Oh, last week's was so good. The Observers, they're everywhere.
The Observers are everywhere.
Observers are everywhere. Today's celebrity birthdays, not a good list. Just not.
Just bad?
You got Bruce Valanche.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
All right.
Big fat comedy writer.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He is 62 years old.
But he wears wacky t-shirts, Ralph.
He does do that. And he
doesn't slogans on them.
Ever cut his hair or his beard. He is disheveled.
Sure is.
He sure doesn't care about his appearance. Robin Roberts from Good Morning America, the co-host of that show, is 49 years old today. And Miley Cyrus, singer, actress, is 17 years old today, and apparently she has got a job opening for a new bus driver. If you're interested, you can contact Miley Cyrus at hannahmontana.com.
There are some hazards associated with the job.
But apparently there is a job opening. I don't know what happened, but apparently she's looking for a new bus driver. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, we have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. You can earn them coming up on this morning show as well, now that they're sold out. Thank you to everybody that bought the tickets. You can earn them coming up later this morning. Right now it is 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That's Kings of Leon right there, who, by the way, I don't know why they bothered even inviting to the American Music Awards last night. As a rock band, you don't have a chance at a show like that. That show is always going to be about, you know, Shakira and Taylor Swift and things that aren't rock.
Both of those are hot, though, so that's all right.
So they just had them just sit in the audience, just staring at their shoes all night. There was no point in them even attending, so clearly they weren't going to win anything.
It was a nod. It was a tiny, itsy-bitsy wink to rock.
You won't win, but we're going to invite you anyway to represent all of rock. All right. As Ralph reported a few minutes ago, one of the biggest openings in Hollywood history was The Twilight New Moon, which, you know, we knew was going to be a big hit. Obviously, they had a huge built-in fan base, including, you know, all the people who loved the book, all the people who went and saw the first movie, and our own Miss Cleo, who joins us in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Hey, Miss Cleo, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
You're a tritard, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to the midnight screening on last Thursday night?
Maybe that happened.
Okay. Well, all right. So what do you have for us today? What are we about to hear?
Well, Miss Cleo wanted to take a tape recorder and interview some of the people there. So we said, fantastic. So she went there Thursday night at midnight, and man, I'll tell you, she got gold, Bean. You're not going to believe the interviews she got, the people she talked to, their opinions on Twilight.
Now, this is interesting because Miss Cleo usually isn't the one who goes out there with a microphone. I mean, this is kind of new, and we were really impressed that she offered to go, right? Because it shows, you know, her commitment not only to the show, but to how much she loves Twilight.
She talked to Stephanie Meyer. She talked to Rob Pattinson. Yeah, really, she got everyone.
I am nothing but in depth.
And it was really, really impressive. This is the first clip of her down there at the screening.
Test, 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 test. All right, so I see none of you guys brought your boyfriends tonight. Why is that?
Okay, so there's that. And for those of you that couldn't hear, she said, I see none of you have brought your boyfriends. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. And why couldn't we hear? Because Cleo was a mile from the microphone?
Right after destroying it with a test, by the way. That's my favorite
Cleo,
part.
You know that you talk into the microphone. It's just like at home with your boyfriend, right? You understand that. You got to get close to it for it to work.
She did. She got close to it. Here you go.
Test, test, test. Dave, what, are you excited to watch the movie tonight?
Off.
Where's the gay shirt?
Off. So you got that. So that,
that was with Dave.
She was closer to the microphone that time.
That's true.
And then she followed that up with,
what do you think about my toe socks? They're pretty cool.
That little kid was awesome.
What do you think about
a little kid?
What do you think about my toe socks?
How is that a question, Cleo?
Question.
Okay, because...
What do you think about my toe socks?
Because Dave had twit-picked it, like, a second ago.
Right.
And so I thought it would have been funny.
Mm-hmm.
The following day.
Right. And then there was this.
Do you have school tomorrow? Yeah. Where are you from?
No idea. I have no idea what that was.
Wow.
I can translate, Cleo, if you want me
but
to.
But at least she followed that up with...
Test, test. Are you hoping to get laid afterwards?
So there's that.
What the hell?
Okay, we got that.
Let me ask you this question, Cleo.
Yeah.
And again, I appreciate the initiative of you to go down there and do this for the show. It's great. But since you're not familiar with equipment and you don't do this generally, why wouldn't you listen back to, I don't know, one of them to see how it sounds before you go and commit the whole evening of recording interviews?
Bean, this is what you're going to love. You're going to love this because Miss Mike called Miss Cleo, or right?
Yeah, I texted her actually at about 9 o'clock. I figured that's when she'd be rolling down there. And I said, hey, is everything okay? Because she had talked to me after we were leaving the show and was kind of concerned with how it was going to go. And she wanted to do a good job. And she responded, yeah, still figuring out what I'm going to ask, but audio-wise, I'm cool. Everything's okay. Everything's okay audio-wise. Got it checked out.
Look, I had King of Mexico down there.
This is my favorite part.
Specifically asked him. I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
After every time I could hear, it just sounded odd. So I said, Dave, there's something wrong with this recorder. Tell me what's wrong. Oh, no, it's fine.
It sounds good. Here's my favorite thing that happened down there is that Dave knew it was distorted beyond all recognition. And just looked at Miss Cleo and went, thumbs up.
Really?
Yeah. Throwing her under the bus?
No. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Which was really the way to go, because how interesting could these have been, right?
How dare you.
You know what I mean? So then she followed that up with...
And, what does it do to your mask? The Twilight flick with a bunch of screaming 12-year-old girls.
So that happened.
Who are you talking to there? It sounds like it might even have been one of the actors.
No.
No.
No. No. Okay. I was kidding about Stephanie Meyer and all that. She was talking to fans, sort of.
Okay.
And then I have tape for days. Just tell me when you're done hearing it.
Are you to do what? You know, just went tour and totally had a bump with a cool voice.
Okay. All right. That's fine. If you wanted to recreate that effect with a tape recorder, would you know how to do it?
Nope.
I wouldn't.
Nope. It is not possible to get that sound out of that recorder.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
That's right.
Don't I agree. Bogart
got plenty.
No.
Need some more?
So, would you say to someone who would maybe... for coming to a midnight screen?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so you
pass
get the idea.
It over to me.
And then there's about 50 more. So
Cleo, you got a year until the next Twilight movie comes out to practice with that tape recorder, all right?
Thanks.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday, minutes away from our friend Seth Green.
Seth Green.
Right, exactly. He is in a new film with John Travolta and, unfortunately, Robin Williams. That's coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, what's the deal? What are you making fun of now?
Well, you getting your rental car stolen because... We all had the same reaction when we heard the story, and that is that Bean rarely admits fault with himself.
There's got to be somebody else.
Occasionally,
how
yes.
How dare you?
But here's the other thing about Bean that you need to know. Like, and this is Kevin speaking. When something goes wrong, I just take for granted that it's going to work out okay, you know, or there's information missing or whatever. When something goes wrong or there's information missing from Bean, he takes for granted just disaster.
The worst possible scenario.
Yeah, his mind just immediately goes to disaster.
Yeah.
Well, it is true that if somebody is 10 minutes late for work, I assume they've been killed in an auto accident.
They must
that
be
is
dead. They must be dead. Somebody call the highway patrol. We go, what are you talking about?
And I know that sometimes there are a lot of steps between A and B.
Sure.
But here's what happened to me. So I'm on vacation last week, and I had a great time. I went back to where I went to high school and college, the Washington, D.C. area. And I spent some time in Maryland, and I made it up to Delaware, and just had a terrific time. So I went to Annapolis because, you know, I in addition to my Haircuts Across America, and by the way, I did get my haircut number 6 in the state of Maryland, Kevin. In addition to Haircuts Across America, I'm trying to visit all the state capitals in the country, right? And I visited like 40 of them already. So I hadn't been to Annapolis in a long, long time, and I thought I better go to the state capital because I don't remember if I've been to that one or not. So I drove to Annapolis, and I parked about 2 blocks away from the capital. By the way, Annapolis used to be the capital of the United States. Did you guys know that?
Don't care.
Okay. So I parked my car a couple of blocks away from the capital. I got out and I started walking around and taking pictures and went in and took the tour and, you know, saw the capital and all that kind of stuff. And then a couple hours later, I get ready to leave and I go back out and I can't find my car. Now, we've all had this situation, especially if you're in a strange city where you're parking on a strange street that you've never been on before and you don't remember exactly where you parked. That's happened to everybody, right?
Sure.
So I didn't panic. I was very methodical about it. I thought, well, that's weird. I could have sworn this was the street that I'm on, but I must be mistaken, so let me try the next street. So then I tried the next street, and it wasn't there. Now, there's a circle that goes around the Capitol called State Circle, and then there are streets that go off in every direction, like spokes on a bicycle. So I went down 2 blocks of every single one of those streets that went off the Capitol. So I covered an awful lot of real estate. I'm walking my ass off at this point looking for the car, right?
I would like to source that, and I'm going to tell people what he means by this.
Okay.
What B means by this is when he came out to where he thought his car was, he called the police and said, "My car's been stolen!" You didn't look one second.
100%, absolutely not.
All right.
So I did. I mean, I walked around for 90 full minutes, okay, looking for my car, because I knew that I had parked in a direction away from the Capitol about 2 blocks away. So I thought, it has to be here. And I went all the way around the spokes twice looking for it. Now, at this point, my feet are blistering up because that's a lot of exercise for me.
Oh, that's more than you walked in the last 15 years.
Yeah. So I'm falling apart at this point. So I still haven't thought that the car is stolen. I just think I must have missed it. And I know what my rental car looks like, so how did I miss it? You're going to laugh when I tell you this, but I just didn't want to walk anymore, so I called a cab.
You called a cab to drag you around to look for your car?
Yes.
I would have never thought of that. That's an awesome lazy man thing to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because I was lazy, because I literally had blisters on my feet that were getting ready to bleed. It was because, A, I could use another pair of eyes, and B, I might be able to see something from a different perspective driving in a car than walking up and down the street over and over again that I feel like I've already done, right? So the guy comes, we drive around, and we went down up and down all of those streets. Still no car.
Did he understand? Like, you just were telling him, I just want you to drive around. Well, what's your destination? Don't have one. Just
yes.
Just drive.
That conversation did happen at the beginning as I climbed in the cab, right? So then he said, I said, I was in a legal parking space where you're allowed to park for 2 hours, unless you're a resident. You know, then you can park longer if you got the little sticker. If they towed my car, where would I find it? What do you think would have happened? He said, well, I can take you to the dispatch place where they do that, where they handle the towing. And I said, that's fantastic. So I had him drive me to that place, which was on the other side of town. Okay. So he drops me off. I pay the man. It's 20 bucks out of my pocket. I'm nowhere closer to finding my car than I was when I started. And I go in and I said, the cab driver told me this is the place where you guys handle the towing dispatches. And he says, no, we don't have anything to do with that here.
Wow. No, wait a minute. Did the cab driver leave? You didn't make him wait? You didn't have him wait?
He was gone. I didn't know how long I was going to be in there, and I didn't want the meter to be running. See, I figured I could always call another cab.
You are a cheap bastard.
I figured I could always call another cab. It's cheaper to start over, right?
All right. Yeah.
So I go in and they say, we don't have anything to do with that here, but here's the phone number. You can call the police station and ask them about it. So now what happens is, apparently, is there are dozens of tow companies, and they're supposed to, when they tow a car, contact the police, figuring that that's where the person who lost the car is going to call first. Because it doesn't do the tow truck driver any good to tow a car if there's no chance that the person's going to come pick it up. That's how they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to find the car after it's been towed, right? So they're all supposed to call the police station. Well, no one had towed my car. The police station said, nope, we haven't had any reports of anyone being towed here. So they said, I said, well, what should I do now? Now, bear in mind, I'm still not panicking at this point, and I'm still not admitting that the car was stolen.
Don't buy it.
It's absolutely true. So I said, what is your advice of what I should do now? I've walked it. I've driven it. I can't find it. It hasn't been towed. What should I do? And they said, we'll send an officer out to you. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So an Annapolis police officer comes out to where I am at this station and puts me in the car with him. And he drives back to the place where I think my car is. He drives around all the same streets that I've driven around with the cab driver. By the way, we're hours into this at this point.
So you're telling me that the police in Annapolis have so little to do that they'll put you in the car and drive around looking for your car?
They couldn't have been any cooler. So I'm talking to this police officer, and I'm like, I told him the whole story, and he said, I don't think it was stolen. And I said, well, I don't either, but why do you say that? And he said, first of all, the kind of car that it was, and I don't even remember now what it was, is not a car that generally gets stolen.
Bean does not rent cars that anyone would want.
Exactly. Second of all, he said, on a sunny, it was a 75-degree sunny Sunday afternoon in Annapolis, which is a huge tourist destination, right down there by the Naval Academy, down there by the water. Very unlikely that somebody's going to hotwire your car in broad daylight. It's unlikely that that would happen. Your car has got to be out there somewhere, right? So he takes me back to the police station. And then, and this is what blew me away, then they radio to a bicycle cop downtown in Annapolis and give him a description of my car and ask him to go find it for me.
Oh, my God.
What?
I can't believe this.
I know. I can't believe it. Isn't there crime in Annapolis? Come on. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting at the police station. I had no idea what's going to happen next. And then a police officer comes out, one I hadn't seen before, comes out from behind the from behind the desk, and he says, "Hey, they found your car." And I'm like, "That's fantastic. Where was it?" And he told another police officer where it was. We jumped in his car and drove over there. My car was there, and it was about three blocks away from the Capitol.
Had you walked past it?
I had never walked past it, no. But what had happened is one of the spokes ended, and then there was a sharp right turn that went around the corner, and I had parked around that corner, never remembered making that turn. So I never went far enough. And all the times that I walked it, and all the times that we drove it in the cab and in the police car, I just never went far enough for it and couldn't find that street again. But how cool are the cops in Annapolis?
That's unbelievable that they would do that.
They're cool or...
Turning a blind eye to possible terrorism under their nose, right?
I mean, what's happening? There's people that have to be people they should be trying to track down.
He's in the police station. The cop drives him around. They got a guy in a bike looking for
him. If you don't mind, and I'm basing this on nothing more than I've spent a lot of time with Bean. I speak Bean. I will translate the story. Walking?
Yes.
Never happened. Cab? Didn't happen. Police taking him around? Didn't happen. Bike cop? Didn't happen.
What happened?
He called the police and said his car was stolen. In seconds.
I'm telling you, everything I've said is the gospel truth. By the way, when I'm out with the cop looking for the car, a radio call comes in about a domestic dispute that somebody was thrown through a window and somebody else with HIV bit another person. Huh? And I said, dude, you want to just drop me off right here? You can get to that. He's like, don't worry about it.
Wow.
Which I thought was very cool.
For the
person that's just been bitten.
This is why it pays to be a white man.
Wow.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and this is very exciting. It's a race against time. Apparently, our friend Seth Green is on his cell phone getting ready to board a plane at LAX right now, but is going to try to squeeze in an interview with us real quick. Hey, Seth, what's going on?
Hi, guys. I'm the biggest douchebag actor at the airport right now.
All right, where are you in the line? Are you boarding?
No, I'm just outside the jetway. I actually gave up my spot in line so that I wouldn't be the guy talking about myself amongst a bunch of strangers.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something else I like about my career.
So, Seth, are you on your way to New York to do all the New York press out there for Old Dogs?
Yeah, I'm going to New York to do exactly that. And then my girlfriend and I are going to Philadelphia for the holidays.
Good for you, Thanksgiving.
On purpose?
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. I know you're from there.
All my family.
I know. Old Dogs, tell us your role before you have to run down the gateway.
I play a really tight-ass, goofy guy who is a dead serious businessman who hates kids. And he works for John Travolta and Robin Williams, who suddenly have to take care of a 7-year-old twin.
Which then, of course, I'm sure gets left to you.
Dude, it's so just funny. And I'm very silly in the movie.
The one thing I
can guarantee you, if you go to see this movie, you're going to laugh.
Here's all I know is that I saw this scene in the trailer and I thought, I'm in. This is Seth Green in the arms of a gorilla and singing.
I'm all out of love, so lost without you. I know you were right. Believe me.
That's it. I'm in. That's all I need.
This is actually a crazy ploy between me and the director, Walt Becker. We purchased Air Supply's back catalog, and now we're just trying to get the
trying to get it hot again. Now, that's a guy in a gorilla suit, though, right, Seth?
Oh yeah, it's a guy with a team of six supporting him. It was really amazing. Like when you, I love special effects, and when you get to see him close up like that, and they still fool you, it amazes me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have one of the strangest film resumes. No one can ever predict what kind of movie Seth Green is going to be in, because one minute he's in The Italian Job, and the next minute he's in Scooby Doo. I mean, do you have a plan, Seth? Are you just pretty much whatever sounds good at the time?
I love acting, and I've had some amazing opportunities to both work with people that I like and work on projects that are, you know, really challenging. So I jump at those, and sometimes they're all different genres, but I try not to let that dictate my choices.
Have they given you last call there yet for the plane?
No, there's actually about 25 more people I can still get in behind them.
Okay.
I lost the overhead storage space.
Our goal is to try and keep you so that you miss your flight.
We wanted to miss the plane.
That's what we want.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this, Seth, because you're hip young Hollywood. Are you jaded enough that you look at guys like John Travolta and Robin Williams and are not impressed by them? Or is it still pretty cool to be in a movie with guys like that who are, you know, Academy Award nominees and winners?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly that. I'm a huge fan. John Travolta is like, these two guys are no joke famous, successful for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And both of them have had similar careers in that they've done broad comedies and been recognized by the Academy for their dramatic work. They've had ups and downs with the critics, and that's impressive to me. My goal is to do this for the rest of my life, so when I get to work with guys like that, it means a lot, especially Robin, who, when I was a kid dreaming of being an actor, I watched him performing and literally wished that we would do stuff together, and I got to make this movie with him. It just blew my mind.
Wow. How about that? And is he the kind of guy you talk to, like, you know, you hang out with and get advice from, and he tells stories and stuff?
He told us a ton of stories on set. He's awesome to get to work with. It's funny, this business like keeps people at a distance. Personally, like we went to the AMAs last night, and I saw a bunch of people that I never see except when we're at award shows or events like that. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Will the a-hole celebrity on the phone please board the plane? A-hole celebrity on the phone, please board the plane.
Hey, Seth, are you flying alone? Or are you flying with your girlfriend right now?
No, we're flying together. She already got our seats. And
she's on the plane! That's even funnier if she's already on the plane.
She's already on the plane.
Yes!
What else can we talk to Seth about so that he misses his plane? We got to figure out a way to keep him off of it.
Seth, what'd you think of the...
I'm not going to see you guys at the Acoustic Christmas this year.
Oh, you're not going to be there?
I know. We're going to be out of town.
No, that's too bad.
It's a hell of a show this year.
I really
want to
see Muse.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Muse is unbelievable.
I've heard the show is awesome.
Let me tell you about Muse, Seth, for a while. You watch them, and you can't imagine all that noise is coming out of just those three, sometimes four guys. I mean, it's really impressive.
You're so silly.
And my favorite song that they do. Let me think about my favorite song that they do, because they have so many.
Let's name all the bands that have played all the Acoustic Christmas concerts throughout the year, shall we? Let's recap.
Tell me about the kind of compressor they have on that song.
Now you're getting
it. And that guy, he has some different guitars, and sometimes he plays the keyboards. I mean, they really are impressive.
All right, I got a split.
The movie is called Old Dogs. Opens up everywhere on Wednesday. John Travolta, Robin Williams, and our friend Seth Green. Hey, we won't talk to you, man. So have a fantastic holiday season, and we can't wait to see what's next in 2010. Seth, we appreciate it, dude.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, what'd you think about the football games yesterday? Okay, bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:54.
Ralph Garman, I got some great news for you. This is probably the final Kevin and Bean show today.
You're
going to be able to move into the big seat this time tomorrow. Well, we're having Mark Headley on, who wrote the book Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology.
Yeah.
And they're likely to come after us and take us down just for doing the interview. But that'll be next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It promises to be quite explosive from the excerpts I've seen from the book.
I'd like to say I'm in favor of Scientology, by the way. I think
you've always supported it.
Legitimate religion.
Me
and
too.
I wish them all the best, and I support wholeheartedly their rights to worship as they see fit.
They take an unfair rap as far as I'm concerned.
Also, it's coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you the details on your final opportunity to be Miss Double December 2010. The deadline is coming up in about 3 hours. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on?
Have you seen the entries, by the way?
I have not seen over the weekend.
Oh, good year.
Not over the
weekend. It's a good year. It's a good vintage.
They really picked up the pace over the weekend.
The weekend was large in terms of quality submissions.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Kevin, is there anything you want to tell us before we move on? with the show business?
I don't know. About what?
I just think it's, I think you've been keeping the secret long enough, and it's time for us just to deal with it.
What's the
secret? In any family, I think we're only as sick as our secrets. I think we need to get it out and just deal with it as a family.
What is it?
And then we can just move forward, and we can all just begin to heal.
What's the secret?
Miss Cleo.
Yes.
Is your illegitimate daughter, right? She is your illegitimate daughter.
She is.
You had sex with some swarthy Egyptian woman years ago, and the result of that union is our very own Miss Cleo.
We have said for about a year now that she is the female me, and, yeah. And that's not a compliment. That's not really
no,
what
I would
true.
Like some DNA testing to happen here on the show, because this morning as I came to the station, I found little Miss Cleo outside shivering in the cold in her car. I was like, what's the matter? I lost my key card. I don't know where it is. I can't get in the gate. So I had to open the gate for her and then open the door for her so she could get into the building. Because she
probably left
her
it at Kevin's
card.
House.
Lost
Ralph,
her key card.
You don't know what it's like for those of us that can't function.
No, I don't. It's not, thank the Lord.
It's not fun.
But I'm just saying,
all right.
You two share some chromosomes,
yeah,
I think.
Unfortunately.
Can we get on Povich? Is there any way we can take this on to Povich?
You are the father. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Hey, and how about that Twilight sequel, New Moon, huh? All right, moving on.
It did all right, I guess.
$140 million, all right.
Wow.
Yeah, number one at the box office over the weekend. Third highest opening for a non-holiday opening ever for a movie. That means just a three-day weekend. Dark Knight and Spider-Man 3. The only two movies who ever did better, but still pretty strong. $140 million for the weekend. Blindside was number two at the box office this weekend. Sandra Bullock raising a large black man as her own child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'd like to see the X-rated version of that movie. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you come into my bedroom, large black teenager?
And the guy that movie's based on is currently in the NFL, Ralph? He's still playing?
He is indeed, sir.
How about that?
He's a Baltimore Raven. Michael O'Hur, I think his name is. 2012 was third on the box office list, then Planet 51, A Christmas Carol, Precious, based on the novel Push by the author Sapphire.
By the way, that's the official title of the movie, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's the most ridiculous long title I've ever heard.
Just called Precious. I wasn't going to go see Precious, but then I found out it was based on Push by Sapphire. Now I'm in.
That's the title. Yeah. How did they even fit that on a ticket?
The Man Who Stared at Goats was seventh. Have you seen that movie yet, Kevin,
no,
by the way?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
You've seen Twilight.
Yeah.
You've seen New Moon.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen Man Who Stared at Goats, a movie that based on a book that you loved.
That's correct. Yes, I haven't yet. Not yet. I'm going to, though. I'm looking forward
You perplex
to it.
Me.
Look, I only have so much time.
Here we go again.
a lot of soccer to watch, Ralph.
Very busy.
Couples Retreat, The Fourth Kind, and Law-Abiding Citizen rounding out your top 10 at the box office this very weekend. Heidi Klum is Klum no longer. She officially changed her name on Friday to Heidi Samuel.
I respect wood. I revere wood.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Seal's last name.
Really?
So she is now Heidi Samuel.
Wow.
Doesn't have the same ring as Klum.
It's odd that somebody who has been that successful and has an established name would change it like that.
Well, she may not be changing it professionally, but in terms of legally and personally, she will now be known as Heidi Samuel.
So the first three kids, I won't take your name. By the time we get to the fourth one, now I'm willing to take your name.
Now I think this may be working out.
All right.
Speaking of Twilight, Ashley Green has a new boyfriend.
Is it Dave?
Apparently it's not Dave. No, Ashley Green, by the way, is so hot.
Yes.
So hot.
Why don't we get rid of Stinky Hippie Girl?
Yeah.
Stinky Lippy Bitey Ugly Face. We get rid of her in the lead and make Ashley Green Bala, as Dave would say. Oh, she's not a good Bala.
She is pretty spectacular.
It's so weird, by the way, and I don't want to take away from your Ashley Green story here, but this Kristen Stewart has got to be the luckiest person in show business. She is a zero. No one has less personality than she does or less ability to act, yet she's now one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Listen, Rob Pattinson and Taylor Lautner aren't rocking the personality-o-meter either, by the way.
I saw Adventureland again recently, and Kristen Stewart is just a zero in that movie, too. She brings nothing to her part. Anytime she shows up in a movie, she hasn't been good since Panic Room.
Dude, she bites her lip.
She does do that.
She does that a lot.
All she does really is play blasé. That's her one note.
Right.
Ennui.
I've got blasé.
I could do that.
That's right. Speaking of Ashley Greene, as I was earlier, she's got a new boyfriend.
Me?
Nope.
No.
The gentleman's name is Jared Followill. He's in a little band called Kings of Leon.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Sure.
There you go. By the way, his previous girlfriend was model Elisa Torres. Look her up if you don't know who she is.
All right.
Yeah. That's what you get for being in a rock band right there, my friends.
This is why we shouldn't have broken up Melfon, you guys. We were this close to getting Quality Tale.
Not broken up, technically.
We're on a hiatus.
Take a break.
A hiatus.
I like to call it an oasis, if you will. Hiatus. Zac Efron is partying it up in London, apparently. Recently, he was seen at a bar in London, sucking down some cocktails, and then hopping on a table to dance.
If that boy were an apple, he'd be a delicious.
Shockingly.
Hey, check out that flaming queen.
His girlfriend Vanessa Hudgens is not with him on this trip because she really inhibits his having sex with men.
How dare you? So how dare you, sir?
Safely at home in Los Angeles.
Mr. Efron, did you get my letters?
Creepy.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, only really one name of note to talk about. Miley Cyrus is celebrating her 17th birthday today. Is it possible she's only 17?
Yeah, that's hard to
famous a long time.
Been famous about 20 years.
Yeah.
Happy but birthday, that means Miley. We're 365 days away from her first sex tape.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she is Miley. She does love the camera.
Yeah.
And she loves being in various states of undress, mm-hmm. even at a young
age. Creates an airtight seal.
All right, easy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. There are a certain number of people in this room who wish I had not come back from vacation, apparently.
All?
Wow. How dare you. Lisa, excuse me, Callie missed me, right? Right, Callie?
I missed you.
Thank you, Callie.
Callie missed you. Lisa didn't know.
I appreciate it. All right. Here's one of the sad things that I missed. There were several things that happened last week that I was way bummed out about missing. This is the thing about the Kevin DeBean Show. You miss a week. You miss a lot. I wasn't here last week. I missed them Crooked Vultures, who I love. I was so excited that they were coming. I didn't get to see them. I missed the kickoff of the Miss Double December pageant for 2010, which I guess, Ralph, am I right about this? This is going to be a live broadcast in like 2 weeks, right?
Yes, we'll be doing the final 10 Miss Double December contestants. Will be competing in the live pageant that we will be hosting, and you're welcome to come down to. Sure.
Remember how great that was last year?
Yeah, it was a good time.
Slide bar.
Remember how,
Fullerton,
remember how Kevin almost got a shutdown with his potty mouth?
I remember that. Who
how
could forget?
Dare you suggest that that was me? That was money.
What would be the ingredients in a Cassandra?
Okay, it would have some chocolate chip cookie dough, because that's no matter what the best thing ever.
Yeah!
And... have to add some brownies with a little kick in them, because that'll be all me.
Listen. What? I said his. I was talking about his. You know we're on the air, right? You know we're on the air.
What is wrong with you?
You're fired.
Is that why you brought me here to pin that on me, Kevin? What the hell?
That show gets a little bit out of control.
I'm talking about his what? You want to try to make a sentence out of that lame ass?
This might surprise you, but I don't think well on my feet.
All right, so the Slide Bar in Fullerton, California is where we're going to be broadcasting, and that is on Friday, December the 4th, I want to say, and that's where the 10 finalists will compete to see who becomes Miss Double December 2010. But we're not quite at that point yet because people can still enter, am I right?
Yeah, till 10 o'clock today.
For another, two hours and 50 minutes, yeah.
But I tell you, get in if you think you got a shot, because it is quite the batch this year, I'll tell you. Some of the answers we got on the entry questionnaire we've asked the girls to fill, as well as send in their pictures.
We try to get an idea of personality and funny and, you know, our sense of humor, that kind of stuff.
In terms of talent, you know, we do have a talent portion to the competition every year, and we ask the girls what would they do if they were asked to perform. Apparently, this girl can swallow knives.
Ooh, oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that code, or?
That comes in handy.
Knives, actual knives.
A song you would strip to if you were a stripper, Who Let the Dogs Out?
But that's a joke.
That's a joke.
I hope so,
but that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Here's a young lady who said her talent is she can give you what – you give her any letter in the English alphabet, and she can tell you what number it falls.
Oh, okay.
That's like a bean talent.
That's appealing to me, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
like a bean talent.
Really? Like Rain Man.
Tell her J. Oh, that's the 13th letter. I don't know
definitely
if it's
13.
Not, but
definitely 13.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
There's a girl who can stick her entire fist in her mouth.
That'd be sweet.
Another young lady who can get out of handcuffs. that are behind your back.
Interesting.
I'm into that.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
We had to bring her in just to see that trick.
But I'm cautious about a woman who can get out of the handcuffs. That scares me.
Why?
Because when I put them down, I want to make sure they're down.
Wow.
Put them down.
Wow.
This young lady can pick up anything with her feet. She's part chimpanzee.
Okay.
That's great. Here's a girl who we asked, what celebrity would you like to be stranded with on a desert island to get a feel with the kind of guys they like? This young lady, who is adorable, says Dr. Drew is her choice.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my choice, too, oddly enough.
Another one says Psycho Mike would be her choice.
Oh, she's out.
But she'll settle for Rob Pattinson.
How do the girls look this year? Because one of the things I love about Miss Double December is we have had all types. We have had very dark women. We've had a Filipina Miss Double December. We've had a beautiful all-American blonde Miss Double December. We really have run the gamut. Are we getting some of that this year as well?
Well, we're still narrowing down the field, but as I look at the people entered in now, we do have a wide and varied selection of young ladies. We've got some beautiful Latinas this year. We've got some blonde all-American types. We've got some dark brunettes who look dangerous, who I wouldn't want to run into a dark alley.
They're going to shiv you?
And they're tatted up. They look like they're mean, and they're going to take my wallet.
It can be sexy.
Dangerous. Absolutely. Dangerous can be sexy.
Yeah.
We have some Hooters girls.
Oh.
All right.
We've got adult models and adult actresses who have entered this year.
There it is.
We've got librarians. We've got secretaries, every possible.
Nice. Wow.
We've got students, every possible occupation across the board we've got entering this year.
Now, I was getting some emails last week. Again, I mentioned I was out, but I did respond back to people, and I want to make sure that those who are thinking of applying know that it is called Miss Double December for a reason. If you're one of these women who has written and said, well, I ought to be I'm hot and I have a B, I should be able to enter. No, this is not the competition for you.
No. These girls so far are taking it to heart looking for Miss Double December, because some of these girls could enter Miss February.
Last week we had to tell people, though, to send a photo that includes both boobs and face, because we were getting just boobs, and then you go, uh-oh, what's wrong with the face? And we were getting just face.
Yeah.
And yeah, neither of those are appropriate for this. Absolutely not. Yeah. So we want to be able to see the goods. You have to be 21 and up. And beyond that, I mean, I think really the only qualification is you're available to come to free stuff, right? You're available to come to the Acoustic Christmas shows and the Weenie Rose shows and live Kevin and Bean events and that sort of thing. I mean, that's kind of the prize you get in addition to the crown and the sash that is always handmade each year very lovingly by our own Ralph Garman.
Was.
I mean, that's what you get.
Ralph gave that up. He got tired of it.
I outsourced that last year. I think it was our first time we sent it to
little Chinese kids.
You know, we sent it to, I think, Sri Lanka. I think is now where they're making it.
The sweatshop.
Got some kids working in a sweatshop over there.
But we're getting a good deal on a bulk rate.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, but we lose quality. Ralph used to have quality.
Oh, you did, yeah. Sure.
It's the way of the world, man.
Sure. All right, so go to kevinandbean.com. You can send us your pictures. You can fill out the information until the end of the show this morning on the Kevin and Bean.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
102.
Wow. 102.
Do you know something we don't know?
No.
11.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah,
sorry I missed that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about our next guest. We've been looking forward to it for a long time. He is a former high-ranking member of the Church of Scientology who now is putting his life on the line by publishing a book called Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. It is available at his website, blownforgood.com or amazon.com. Please welcome to the program Mark Headley, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Pretty good.
Now, I half joke, as I'm sure you've heard all of these jokes before. Here's a man who's putting his life on the line, because the impression that we get, those of us who aren't in Scientology or know that much about it, is you speak out against Scientology, bad things happen to you and your family. How overstated is that belief?
It's not that overstated at all. I mean, I've had private investigators follow me around. I've had people dig through my garbage. Child services got an anonymous tip that my kids were endangered, and they had to do an inspection at my house. And
the first story in the book you tell is you trying to literally physically drive away from the Scientology headquarters and them running you off the road.
That's right. Yeah, the day I left, I was basically chased down by a security SUV from the compound there, and there's actually a police report online that anybody can look up, just Google Mark Headley police report, and sure enough, there's two Riverside Sheriff's deputies that basically document the pretty much the whole event of what took place.
Mark, how long were you involved in the church?
I started when I was very young, when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old in the early 1980s, like 1980, 1979. And I started working for them in 1989, and I stopped working for them in 2005 and pretty much severed my connection with them then.
What was it that was attractive to you about Scientology that kept you in it so long?
Well, I mean, I grew up in it, so my mom was in it, and I went to a Scientology school. I had Scientology friends, so I was kind of just in it.
That's all you knew. That's all you knew as a kid.
Yeah, that's how I grew up, and that's what I knew to be the way the world worked and how things were, and
we're gonna take
Scientology way.
We're going to take calls 1-800-520-1067 in a second. How high did you get in the church?
I didn't get that high in terms of their training levels and their counseling. I mean, I haven't even read the book Dianetics.
Not very good Scientologist, I'll tell you that.
I was a worker. When I was there, I was an employee, and I worked there for 15 years for 100-hour weeks. Earned for the entire 15 years I was there, I earned 39 cents an hour as an average wage.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I made $29,000 in 15 years.
Wow.
For 100 hours a week, every single week for 15 years.
Then why didn't you get out after the first month if you realized that's what the pay was?
That's what the book is about. That it explains what are the pitfalls of trying to leave and the fear of being recaptured, and then what the punishments are if you are recaptured when you do attempt to leave, and the disconnection policy that they enforce where you can't speak to your family ever again.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the disconnect, because that's one of the – that to me, that's a big red flag. Any religion that wants to separate you from your family, to me, that's a red flag that says don't do this. But they're serious about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I left in 2005 – before I even had a chance to contact any of my family, my mother, my sister, and my brother were all informed that they would never be able to speak to me ever again. And I haven't spoken to them since the day I left.
Oh, my gosh.
And if they do choose to speak to me, then they themselves can be declared a suppressive person.
That's the
And then they won't be able to speak to anybody that they know that's a Scientologist.
So the suppressive term—that's what they—that's what they term you when you're an enemy of the church, basically. So even if your mom were to call and say, "Hey, just want to make sure you're healthy, you know, and everything's going okay," they would cut her off as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. When my wife gave birth to our first son, I called her parents from the hospital room, and I called and I said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, Claire's okay. Click." I hung up.
Really?
Yep. Wow. They've never That's seen shocking. Their grandchildren.
Wow.
This is the voice of author Mark Headley on The Kevin and Bean Show. The book is called Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology, available at Amazon.com. And I think it's worth mentioning something here, Mark, because sometimes people will come across the dial when we have a topic like this on, and they'll think that it has something to do with being against religion or against the beliefs that people have. I don't think that's where we're coming from. Look, I think lots of religions are crazy. I think the Xenu story is just as crazy as the Jesus story, if you want my personal opinion. But where Scientology does seem to differ is the types of things you're talking about, the disconnect policy, the crazy amounts of money that you have to pay for materials and that sort of thing. That's what makes it different from all the other religions that we know and talk about, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And also, I've made that very clear in the book, and also and things that I've posted about the book and promotion I've done. This is not a book about the philosophy of Scientology. There's very little, counseling or training techniques. Very little of that stuff is covered in here. This is about the business of Scientology, and this is about the human rights abuses of the organization of Scientology and how they treat their employees and how they treat their members and some of the things that go on inside when people who do want to leave try to leave and what happens to them.
What were your thoughts, Mark, when you saw the news story that got quite a bit of play a couple of months ago about writer-director Paul Haggis, who won an Oscar, I think, either for Crash or Million Dollar Baby. He wrote them both. But he very publicly left Scientology. I think he put a full-page ad in the paper with a letter explaining why. Did the types of things that he was talking about ring true to your experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that he brought up in that letter that he wrote was this policy of disconnection and how the Scientology public spokesperson, a guy by the name of Tommy Davis, he said on national TV that the policy of disconnection does not exist. And any Scientologist hearing that would immediately know that he's lying, because it's one of the first things you learn in Scientology is about disconnection. And Paul Haggis himself experienced it with a family member who was disconnected.
Yeah. There is a level of secrecy that you don't see in, really, I don't think, any other, quote, religion. And that is, I mean, in your book, you have a map of the headquarters, and all of the buildings have abbreviations, and you kind of have to learn, like, what all the abbreviations are. And I got to tell you, I was reading your book. I had to skip ahead. It was too complex. There's no possible way. Why did they need an abbreviation for everything?
That's the way they roll there.
But why?
Just because they want to make everything faster, and they want to make it so it's its own language. And to an outsider, it would be impossible for you to infiltrate them, because the language everything that is there is so coded that you literally do have to be there for a long time in Scientology, even to be able to make it in the higher levels of the organization, because everything is coded in the policies and the abbreviations and all the Scientology technology. So
it's very much like the Dharma Initiative on Lost. That's what you're saying, right, Mark?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me ask you one more question. Then we're going to take a break and come back with your questions for Mark Headley, the author of Blown for Good. If you have any questions you've always wanted to ask about Scientology, Mark is the man who wrote the book about how they operate. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. With all this press in recent years, especially books like yours, the Paul Haggis story, the news out of Germany that they declared not a church, it's a cult. What's the state of Scientology these days? Is it continuing to grow, or is it losing members because of all of this kind of publicity?
I think it's losing members, personally, and also just from I've gotten emails and letters from Scientologists who've read the book saying that it answered a lot of questions that they've been having. It explained a lot of things that happened within the church that they didn't even know why they were happening. It was just the oppression from management and
right.
different policies that are coming down. And they just, a few weeks ago, got convicted of organized fraud in France. They have a huge investigation that's being asked for in Australia by a senator down there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that are happening that the members themselves are questioning, you know, why are we doing what we're doing, and why are these things happening to mm-hmm. us? And they're starting to look to the internet for answers, and the ones they're finding are contrary to what they've been being told by Scientology management.
We need to take a break. If you could hold on, we do want to talk to you some more. One of the things that was fascinating to me about your book was that you did the, what is it, auditing? Is that what they call it? The auditing?
The counseling, yes.
With Tom Cruise.
That's correct.
You and Tom Cruise.
Fascinating.
So I want to ask you about that when we get back. Plus, we'll take phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. The book is Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. Why does that line keep clicking?
I think we know why, and I think somebody's listening in. Somebody's taking down some addresses. That's what's happening.
Okay. Hang on, Mark. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to author Mark Headley.
Dead man walking.
He has written a book called Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. It is available from Amazon.com or blownforgood.com. Hey, there's no, Mark, there's no conspiracy involved in why it's not available in regular bookstores that you can walk in and pick up, is there?
No, I mean, we just, we printed a small amount for publication. I actually started my own publishing company so that I could publish the book.
Okay.
It'll be available in Barnes & Noble and other stores.
Yeah, and if you can get it from Amazon, let's face it, that's good for everybody. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to squeeze in as many calls as we have time for. But Kevin asked you right before the break to talk about your experiences with Tom Cruise, who I got to tell you, we've had him on this show a couple of times before. Couldn't be a nicer guy, a more positive, upbeat, talented guy. I mean, everything we know about Tom Cruise suggests that he's an awesome dude, yet people still kind of give him the funny look because of how deep into Scientology he is. What's up with that?
Well, I think that once you really become a hardcore Scientologist, you basically have this whole other reality or this whole other universe that you operate in. And sometimes when, like that video that was leaked of him talking to a lot of Scientologists.
That was scary.
Scientologists, they think that video is the best video that was ever made.
But right.
When somebody on the outside of Scientology looks at it, they just go, whoa, that's pretty spooky.
What was it like to be in the room with him and doing the auditing thing?
I mean, it was pretty much, you know, oh, my God, that's Tom Cruise, the big movie star guy. I mean, he had just done Days of Thunder, you know, Top Gun, Born on 4th of July. So, you know, at the time, I was just like, wow. You know, I probably had more attention on the fact that, you know, I was sitting across from Tom Cruise than
right.
whatever, you know, counseling or whatever we were
You also
doing.
Talk about the search for the wife for...
Oh, yeah.
For Tom Cruise's wife?
Was that real or was that just a rumor?
No, that was absolutely real. I mean, you can, in the book, there's a whole section on exactly how that went down and the auditions and the submission tapes that were being sent up.
And the women were totally aware of this?
No, they thought they were auditioning for a movie.
Ah.
Now, it was basically to get a part in a Tom Cruise movie, but, you know, the questions that were being asked were a lot. I mean, the first round of auditions was on Scientology actresses.
Right.
So some of the questions being asked of them are, you know, what do you think about Tom Cruise, and where are you in Scientology on your counseling or your training? And, you know, there was a lot of other questions that might not necessarily pertain to a movie role in a new Tom Cruise movie. So,
okay, but let me ask you this. So they eventually went to non-Scientologists for him to choose from, but why couldn't he have just met someone, fallen in love, and married who he chose rather than, you know, kind of have this picked for him?
Yeah, I think that's a question you're going to have to ask him.
Is this just a case? We have so little time. Is this just a case of somebody trying to help him out? The church trying to help him out? He's having trouble meeting people, so it's like a blind date situation? Or is it more sinister than that? Hello?
There's a lack of.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's back. He's back. Whew. Sorry, we lost you for 1 second, Mark. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it was more, you know, he was in David Miscavige's ear, who's the leader of Scientology, about his girlfriends or lack thereof. And David Miscavige was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to hook you up here. So.
Okay.
Do you think, one more question, then we'll go to your phone calls for our guest, Mark Headley. Do you think Tom Cruise is being groomed to eventually take over in some sort of official capacity as the leader of the church?
No. I think he's a PR guy for them, and he's a basically, you know, someone they can say, here's this big movie star guy, and he's in Scientology, so you should be too. So.
Okay. All right. Let's squeeze in a few calls for Mark. Again, the book is called Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. We got some great ones here. Let's start with Sherry. She is on line 6 on the Kevin Abeen Show. Sherry, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. You're on with Mark. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering what Scientology's stance is on psychiatric drugs.
Scientology.
They love them.
Is 100% against any form of psychiatric treatment, drugs, anything that has to do with psychiatry. They are 100% against. They believe that the psychiatrists, when Xenu did his whole thing 75 million years ago, the psychiatrists were right there with him, and they are what they call whole track implanters, and they basically they are the underlying source of all evil in the universe. Psychiatrists. So.
Now you mentioned Xenu. Bean and I have both known, you know, several people who are in the Church of Scientology. Great people, kind, enthusiastic, not bad,
mm-hmm.
but most of them don't ever get to that level where you start talking about Xenu and the operating Thetan level, you know, 8 or whatever the highest is, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's probably a few $100,000 in. You learn about Xenu on operating Thetan level 3. So I'll be the first to agree with you. There's a ton of members of Scientology that are, you know, the greatest people you'll ever meet, and they're nice and friendly, and that's why I'm not talking to, my book's not about those people. My book's not about what they believe in. My book is about the organization. So,
and by the way, that's another thing. When I was talking a few minutes ago about the differences between Scientology and some of the other religions, is that you don't have to pay to learn all there is to learn about Catholicism or Judaism, right? I mean, that's what makes this different, is that you really have to, you got to put a lot of cash in to get this material at the top.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, what do I think? Is it a religion or a cult? And I say, it's a business. So, you know, whatever the philosophy is, that's fine. But when you charge people hundreds of thousands of dollars for information, and then when they do choose to leave, or they do, you know, contest something, or, you know, they have some kind of disagreement with the philosophy, then they're, you know, boom, they're out of there. And then that's where you have these people that are just damaged goods, because they've been broken up with their family. They've been, you know, they had to quit their job because they worked for a Scientology company, or, you know, they have never been able to speak to their children again because their children are involved in Scientology. Wow. And, you know, that's what these nice people that you know of, when things go wrong, you know, they're miserable.
Now, we don't have enough time for all these calls. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But tell us about your drive to get people to come out and, you know, speak and do it publicly.
Well, the more and more people that have been coming out and telling these stories, a guy just in the last week started telling his story, and he is in Australia, and he worked in the Los Angeles facility, Scientology, mm-hmm. And all of the stuff that he's talking about parallels everything that's in this book. And there's probably another 1,000 people that have spoken out that have little stories here and there, and more people are starting to come out and say, yes, I witnessed this, this is what happened, and the fear of what the organization does to people is starting to wear off, or it's at least becoming not as evident. And yeah, more and more people. There's a website called Ex-Scientologists message board, or Why We Protest, and both of those have stories from people in every single country where Scientology exists about similar things that happened. People that tried to leave and they were recaptured, or people that weren't allowed to leave, or all these things. So I think the more people that come out and say what happened to them, the more things, at least, they're not going to be able to continue to do them, and they're going to have to, you know, right the wrongs that have been done. But, you know, the book explains how people get in, how people are stuck in, and then what happens when they try to get out. So,
and that book is called Blown for Good, Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. It is available at Mark's website, blownforgood.com, which also Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
Plus, BMW's ultimate service plan comes standard. Visit your local BMW center today or go to SoCalBMW.com for details. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Shaky, but thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, a little rocky there.
It's a world-famous K-Rock.
I don't think I'd buy any of that.
7:55.
Tickets are now sold out for night number one, for both nights, actually, the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 shows. But if you want to win night number one featuring AFI and more, your chance to win less than 30 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on in the world of entertainment?
Nothing but Twilight. That's all. Just new moon.
Yeah.
New moon taking over the world. $140 million it made this past weekend.
Way to go, Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin threw his 15 bucks into the coffers.
I like
the mix.
I like vampires.
Yeah, we get it. We get it.
And you know what?
So go watch The Vampire Diaries and True Blood.
I do.
He can't get enough vampires.
I watch it all.
You can, well, you can get it all without going to see New Moon.
But here's what I did notice, is that I was a little out of sync with the audience in that when, what's his name, the werewolf takes off his shirt to
Taylor Lautner.
Yes, when he takes it. I laughed.
Jake.
Because it was so, like, over the top, dumb, posing.
Like, building up to a specific moment in the film that is showcased.
Right. Yes, right.
I see.
And I heard a lot of noise, so I figured everyone was laughing. No, they were clapping. I was like, what just happened?
Woo! Pec muscles. Woo! Stomach.
So they may not be looking for the same thing I was.
Kevin, did you throw your panties at the screen with all the other little girls?
Three pair. Yeah.
I wish you had been raped.
Come on now.
That would have been awesome.
You would have deserved it, I'll tell you that.
Second at the box office this weekend was The Blind Side. Third was 2012. Planet 51 in its debut came in number four with a little over $12 million. A Christmas Carol was fifth. Precious, based on the novel Pushed by Sapphire, was sixth.
Worst title ever.
The Men Who Stare at Goats was number 7. Couples Retreat 8. 9 was The Fourth Kind. And rounding out your top 10 at the box office this past weekend, Law Abiding Citizen came in at number 10. It's all werewolves all the time now, Kevin.
Yeah.
Vampires are out.
Are they?
So 20 minutes ago yesterday? With your vampire fixation.
Kevin, how was the singing dog in the New Moon movie?
Well, singing dog.
The guy turns into a dog, right?
Yeah, but
the guy turns into a dog and sings.
Becomes like Beethoven, and Charles Grodin comes out, and he's got to try to
remember keep any of those parts.
I remember that from the book.
Getting mud all over the furniture, and then Marmaduke.
What are we thinking of, Callie? You know what we're talking about. The guy who turns into a dog in the Twilight New Moon.
Well,
the buddy
first,
took off
a
shirt. The guy
I
takes off a shirt,
sings.
Becomes a dog.
Right, but he doesn't sing.
And
no.
He talks, and he pulls Santa's sleigh or something.
You might be getting several movies mixed up.
I'm pretty sure that's the one.
All right.
Anyway, it's all about the werewolves. A brand new book on stands today. The Werewolf's Guide to Life, a manual for the newly bitten.
All right.
Okay.
Provides for you some do's and don'ts for dating a werewolf. This is for you and your people, Kevin. Please listen up.
It's for you for do's Christmas, Kevin.
Do, cook a steak for him. Don't, overcook it. Rare is better. Or don't cook it at all. Either way.
Woof.
Do understand when he feels the need to pee outdoors. He's marking his territory. Don't put up with his misses when he leaves the toilet seat down. That's not a werewolf thing. All guys do that.
Woof.
Oh! F*** you!
Yeah, that's dumb.
Do love him unconditionally.
Sure.
Don't pet him. It's patronizing. See?
Woof.
When he's a woof, he doesn't want to be petted.
Right.
Screw you, Kevin, and screw everyone else in that theater that was there with you.
Which is everybody, by the way, in the world.
We had a chance to talk about it. I mentioned a little bit on Friday, but Oprah announced that she is giving up her syndicated talk show at the end of her contract in September 2011. However, she went on to beat us all to death with the fact that she's not leaving television by any stretch of the imagination.
What does that mean?
Well, she is adding another network to the airwaves.
She already has the Food Network, right?
Size, that's not her. The Oxygen is what she has. Now she's entering the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Is it called?
I've gained weight.
No, it's called OWN. O-W-N. Oprah Winfrey Network. She's going to have a bunch of programs on there, including her own television show.
Is it called?
Does My Butt Look Big?
It's called Does My Butt Look... No, it's called Masterclass, where she will be interviewing notable newsmakers of the day.
Is it called?
I'm So Fat.
No, it's not called I'm So Fat.
So wait, why is she stepping away from the richest deal in television history, her syndicated show, to put a show on a cable network?
I do not know. Maybe there's even more money in a cable network than there is in a syndicated show.
She can't possibly need money, though.
She
she's
doesn't.
Almost broke. She's close to broke.
She makes literally $300 million a year.
I heard she bought a dinosaur head and a lot of cars and some castles, and now Johnny Depp's going to have to bail her out.
No. That's Nick Cage. That's Nick Cage. You're confused.
Her girlfriend, Gayle King, by the way, is getting her own daytime talk show.
Is it called
I'm Pigging Out?
No, it's not.
All right.
So, a lot of Oprah influence still yet to come on our TV sets. We're not out of the woods yet, people.
Does this mean a year and a half of Oprah farewell shows?
Oh, sure.
Oh, today's the day. It's the last time we're ever going to have Madonna on. Oh, today's the day. It's the last time I ever wheel out a wheelbarrow full of my own fat. I mean, every day is going to be a last time, right?
Last time I give out my favorite things. Coming up on Oprah.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't pull a Brett Favre. She better mean it.
And Amy Winehouse has been able to kick a lot of things in her life. Apparently, she's off the crack cocaine. She's off the heroin. One thing apparently she can't kick is her ex-husband, Blake Fielder Civil. Sources close to the couple say they're planning to marry yet again in February of next year.
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently, Blake really wants this time to work out. Even though there have been issues of infidelity and substance abuse throughout the relationship, he thinks this time they're going to make it work.
Look, I'm not Dr. Drew or anything. They don't sound healthy together. That does not seem like a good mix.
I don't think you have to be Dr. Drew to see that.
But I'll tell you, they're easy to buy for when it comes to a wedding present.
That's true.
Get an 8-ball.
That's true.
Boom. You're covered. His and her syringe set. All kinds
of
things.
Do they sell those?
All kinds of things you can get. Today's celebrity birthdays, only one real birthday of note. Miley Cyrus celebrates her 17th birthday today. She will be taking a bus to her party. Oh, no! No, Miley, don't take the bus! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Tickets for night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 concert for you. If you want to call and play, is Miss Cleo going to do the
yes,
thing again?
Of course. Oh.
She's so good.
Of course.
She's so good. If you want to play Title Fight, you can call now 1-800-520-1067 to play for tickets for night number one. That'll be coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, is that a Miss Double December contestant that just joined us in the studio? What's going on here? Wow, I didn't know they were starting to come in today. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Bean.
Mrs. Kevin, how come you couldn't keep your husband away from New Moon over the weekend?
You know what? I actually wasn't home when he snuck out to do that.
I didn't sneak.
Mortified.
I held my head high, and then when I snuck back in afterwards.
I would be very interested in checking his internet browser when you get home, by the way, because any grown man who's going to see Twilight New Moon has, I think, has an unhealthy interest in teenage girls. That's all
you
I'm telling you.
How dare you?
There's so many problems with him that I should write a book like the Scientology guy.
About how you tried to get out and couldn't?
That's exactly how I feel.
Tractor just a bit. My wife and I run a charity called friendsandhelpers.org, and we try not to bug the listeners with it too much because it's more fun to make fun of people. But
like Kevin.
Our Christmas program is coming up, and describe the Christmas program for everybody.
Okay, so our Christmas program is coming up, and basically what we do is we help abused women and children, and we do an adopt-a-family program and adopt-a-stocking program. And you can go on our website, friendsandhelpers.com, and we provide Christmas or Hanukkah for those families, which they have very basic needs, and you adopt a family, and basically you're providing Christmas for that family. Or you adopt a stocking, and that means that a kid will get a stocking with candy, CDs, a t-shirt, something like that in them. And also, you really see a difference this year. In the past, you may have seen like more toys on the forms that we get from these abuse centers. We're seeing clothes, food, shoes.
Basics,
we're seeing really basics.
Yeah.
And I've never had a year when I thought we couldn't fulfill all the needs, and we can't this year. It is so bad out there. This economy is really, really rough.
Yeah.
And I really need the K-Rock listeners' help, and you guys are such a powerful force. And we're sunk. I mean, there's so many people out there who are in such a bad shape. But I wanted to come in and ask your listeners today, you know, $5 makes a difference. And if anybody could just help us in any way possible, if you go on our website, friendsandhelpers.org, there's just so much, you know, as a group, you're so powerful that you could go out and help us.
It adds up fast is what you're saying.
You can donate any amount of the numbers.
Yeah.
Or you can click on the Adopt a Stocking. That's $25. So we figure, you know, the economy is bad. People don't have a lot of money extra.
Right.
But if we can get a lot of people to just get one stocking, you know, something like that would make a huge difference because these families that are torn apart by abuse, they basically have to run, and they don't have any money, and they don't have any Christmas. And the one thing that I'm the most proud of this charity is the way my wife runs it, is the IRS rules say that you only have to give 5% of the money raised to the actual cause. You can use 95% for overhead and salaries and
unbelievable.
Everything. And most don't. But that's their law. That's what you have to do. But we take care of all of the costs so that you find out who you're helping, you know, exactly how, you know, where
every
your money's going.
Every dime that you give goes
100%.
To those people.
And it is a write-off, by the way, for all of you people. And, you know, like one of the ideas that somebody came up with that we thought was a really good one, you know how offices do Secret Santas?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a candle or you get like something that you don't really need. Instead of doing Secret Santas in your office, adopt a family. And that would be a really nice thing to do and to share with other people.
It's a great idea.
And, you know, just something different to do or, I don't know, you know, just – or in your own family, say, you know, instead of all of us buying 5 gifts for each other, let's, you know, adopt a family, you know, in our own group. And I'm telling you, the joy that it brings these people, it also makes them feel like people are caring about them. So it's not just that you're buying somebody a sweater. You're showing them that you care about them and that you're thinking about them. And it helps rebuild their self-esteem. That is really, really important.
It is super humbling to have somebody break down and start crying because they got a gift certificate for $25. You go, I didn't really help you that much.
Yeah.
But yes, you did. It's really fascinating the just amount of emotional bolstering that it does for people who really, really need it.
I have two questions for you, Melissa. Number one is how do you find these people?
I do research, but I interview everybody. They have to be getting counseling to be part of our program. And the other thing now is they're finding me.
There are a bunch of centers where they help abused women and children.
Right.
These women and children go, and they have to get into counseling, and then they try to, you know, help them get jobs, temporary housing if they need to.
But so you work through the centers?
Yes.
Yes, so we work through the centers. And it's all about them moving on and not being on this list next year. Right. That's important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They've got to see something positive in their lives, something good coming in there. And number two is, are any of them hot?
What? Well, Bean, let me ask you this, Bean. If they're hot, will you write a check?
Yes, I will.
Then they are hot.
All right.
You know what? You can FedEx that check right here to K-Rock.
And if they're hot and Japanese, I'll double it. How about that?
You know what? They're Japanese and they're hot. Right. And so you can just FedEx that check right to Friends and Helpers.
It's friendsandhelpers.com, friendsandhelpers.org, and the website is also, the link is up at kevinandbean.com if you just want to go there and click on it. And you can help with any amount.
But just let me tell you too, you know, a Target gift card, anything like that, a Starbucks card, anything does make a difference. Don't consider that anything you do is too small, because it isn't. It all starts with just one person makes a huge difference. Like, listen, Bean's going to send a check. He's got plenty of money.
Right.
That's going to help.
But he's a cheap bastard.
But he's a cheap bastard. So just like set the example that Bean's doing. You know, move on.
You have said in the past when we've talked about your charity that you are always overwhelmed by the support that the Kevin and Bean listeners come through. I mean, they do come through
for
you because I think they can tell that you guys take this very seriously. You work very hard on it all year long. And the money is going exactly where you say it is. And I think people are happy to give in a situation where they know that the money is going directly to people who need it. And that's what's great about this charity. And that's why people ought to go to the website and check it out.
And, you know, and part of the problem is, hey, it's a rough year. I can't really give that much. So it's not really going to help. So I'm not going to.
Right.
Don't think that way. You know, if you can give $10, that does make a big difference.
You could see our house right now and see that our whole house is filled with boxes of stuff and everything. And I just want to make sure this one point. If you're a company and you make certain things and you could donate items, that would be really great. We're really looking for toothbrushes and toothpaste. There's a big need for that this year. But if you, like, shoes and clothes are huge. So if you own a company, email me. You know, email the website. It rolls to me. Any kind of company like that, you know, you can help us out with merchandise too. So please think about that as well. That would help.
It is a little shocking that people want a toothbrush for Christmas.
Oh my God!
You know what I mean? Like, you read that and you go,
"Wow!"
They just
have nothing right now.
I mean, deodorant, perfume, you know, socks. I mean, we need help, people. It's really hard, and we're so appreciative. You have no idea. It is grassroots. It is all hands on. And the K-Rock listeners are a mighty force. We have seen this many times. If you can get this many girls to come in and be double Decembers.
No, take it easy. Don't start.
You got to be able to help me out.
They're good names.
We've got our priorities straight. We took care of Miss Double D before we started dealing with your BS charity, all right? All right. Friendsandhelpers.com or friendsandhelpers.org. If you don't remember that when you get to work or home and you think to check it out, you can always go to kevinandbean.com and get the link from there as well.
Yes.
Melissa, thank you for coming in.
Thanks,
I'm sure
guys.
That the listeners will come through.
Thanks,
and good
Lise.
Luck with it, all right?
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Now that the shows are sold out, the only way to get your tickets is to win them. We're talking about the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows coming up on December 12th and 13th. Right now, I believe we've got tickets for night number one up for grabs with AFI, Rise Against, Alice in Chains, 30 Seconds to Mars, 3 Days Grace, Dead by Sunrise, and Amberlin. Kevin, what game are we playing here?
Oh, just a little game called Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to battle concert.
All right, we've got two contestants on the line. Only one can win, but let's meet them. We'll start with Chris. Chris is on line 5. He is playing for night number one tickets. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you feeling? Lucky today?
Yeah.
Okay, unfortunately, Miss Cleo is about to be your partner, so I don't know how that's going to work for you, but let's see what Ruben has to say. He's on line 7. Hey, Ruben, how are you, man?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Very well. Good. Now, have you guys heard the title fight before? Do you know how the game is played?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. For those who have never heard it before, Miss Cleo is going to be trying to get them to say the name of songs by the bands. Each contestant will be playing for a different band. One will be playing for AFI, the other for Alice in Chains. And, of course, both bands are playing on night number one. So, Chris, we talked to you first. Why don't we give you your choice of bands? How about that? Do you want to play with AFI or with Alice in Chains songs?
Let's go ahead and do Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains.
All right. 45 seconds on the clock. Miss Cleo is not allowed to use any of the words in the song title. If you don't think you know it, you can pass and come back to it later, okay? And if you make a guess and you're wrong, you can guess again if you want. You're allowed to guess more than once. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Let's try it.
The opposite of up is?
Down.
Okay.
Down in a hole.
Nice. It's kind of like a chicken.
Rooster.
The opposite of a woman is a?
Man.
Okay, and then this is something that you would use when you're moving. Oh, God. A girl part. you got man.
All I can think of is man in a hole.
Close.
Move on.
I would move on.
Move on, please.
Okay, angels fly in.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Angels fly in.
You were so close. Man in the box. You were so close to man in the box.
But you said man in a hole. I don't. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, right. That's the important version of man in the box. But Cleo, there are better ways to describe box than girl parts, okay?
She said you move with these.
I said you use this to move. Come on.
Yeah, but that doesn't exactly. You put stuff in it to put it on the truck to take it away. I mean, there's a lot. You can get closer to box.
I'm just saying. Pretty good.
Hey. For Miss Cleo, she got two. Yeah,
that was her best performance ever.
All right, so two is what you got with Alice in Chains. So let's see how is this a Ruben? I guess we'll go to next. Ruben, you're going to be playing for AFI song. Same deal. 45 seconds on the clock. You name as many as you can. You ready to go?
Definitely.
There we go. All right. Good luck.
A woman who kills people.
Miss Murder.
The opposite of a guy is a
girl. Girls
not great. Okay. To go away from someone. God.
Skip.
This is what a doctor does to you when you're sick.
Medicaid?
Yes. We got a winner. Ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Well done, Ruben. And by the way, you didn't spend much time on it, which was probably smart, but Miss Clear was on the right track with Going Away. She was looking for the Leaving Song, part two, is where she was headed with that. But you didn't need it.
Nicely done. We'll see you at night number one.
Every Monday, we look forward to coming in and talking to our friend Harvey Levin, the genius mastermind behind TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Hey, guys.
He's being dragged to the telephone as we speak.
I was literally dragged. Oh, jeez. Tough morning, guys.
Yeah. You seem busier than any four people I know.
It has been a tough morning.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on, Harvey? What are you working on?
I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Did you see Dexter last night?
I didn't yet. I taped it.
God, was it good.
Oh, that show's the best.
It has been awesome. I just I was on vacation last week, so I caught up with all my TV over the weekend. Oh my God, when he pulls him back from jumping off the roof, I was like, this is insane.
Oh, but you know what? Wait till you see what happens with John Lithgow at Thanksgiving. It is
really Thanksgiving.
Is he the creepiest?
Oh, it's such! Isn't that the greatest show?
It really is one of the best ever.
And you know who's? I shouldn't hijack your show this way, but you know who's great in that show?
What? Who?
His sister in the show, who's his wife in real life.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yes.
She's
really
amazing.
She is. That's one show, Harvey, that we love and don't talk enough about. So don't worry about that. We're down with that.
Oh God! I mean, you guys have got to see last night. It was. I'm telling you, it was shocking. It was amazing.
Well, We had Sunday Night Football going on. We also had the LA Galaxy and the MLS Cup we were watching. I was watching the American Music Awards, all that at the same time, so I could not squeeze.
The American Music Awards any good? Did you like it?
It's always horrible. That's a horrible show. It's not even one of those shows that we bring in tape from because there's no host and there's no attempt at comedy. It's just one lame pop act after another one getting up there and singing.
A snooze.
Now, Harvey, here's the story I'm interested in.
Okay.
Here's the headline on TMZ.com. Dr. Conrad Murray back to work.
Is that amazing?
How? How does that guy, people walk in and go, nope, you killed Michael Jackson, I'm dying, but I'm out.
See, here's the thing. He actually has a loyal patient base, and they've rolled some of these patients out over the last couple of months.
Wait, he still has them?
He does. And one of the reasons that he's practicing again, if you guys remember, he almost went to jail because he didn't pay his child support.
He's way behind on child support.
It was $13,000, and the baby mama, you know, one of many that he has, she decided, okay, I will waive the $13,000, provided that you give me $1,000 a month going forward. And the judge said, if you fall behind on the new payment, the $1,000 a month, you're going to jail. So he needs to make money, and he hasn't been making any money. He hasn't gotten paid by AEG. He's talking about suing AEG, but they're not going to pay because they say that Michael Jackson never signed a contract. So this guy hasn't made money in a long time, and he lives, you know, he's got BMW and he's got houses. So and he's got all this child support. So he's got to make money.
So he's at the Armstrong Medical Clinic in Houston.
In Houston.
And people are going to walk in and they're going to go, "Let's see, dude who killed Michael Jackson."
Well, or they're going to say, I'm running low on propofol today.
But here's,
look,
here's
I have a sprained wrist. I need propofol.
Right. Here's what surprised me when I saw this story, Harvey, and I guess I don't know how it works with medical investigations, but usually, like if a police officer is under review, they're suspended with pay, but they don't work. They don't let them go back to work until the investigation is complete. Doesn't work that way with doctors. You can still work even if you're being looked at for something like this.
I got to tell you something. When I was at Channel 2 News, when I was doing local news here, I did a bunch of stuff on the medical board and on the state bar.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I mean, there were doctors who killed people, you know, repeatedly, and were still practicing medicine. I remember one doctor literally had an anesthesiologist who was a professional kickboxer, and she didn't have an anesthesiologist license or anything like that, or an anesthetist license.
Well, she just kick you in the head so you go out?
Her big qualification was she was a kickboxer, and they killed a patient.
And
he just kept practicing and practicing and practicing. So it is shocking how long it takes, and they usually wait to see a criminal case run its course, but it is shocking to see how long it takes for a doctor to have to stop practicing medicine.
When are they going to charge him or not charge him in the death of Michael Jackson?
Well, what I'm told is, they initially were going to do this a month ago. Things changed, and what I understand is the DA has been asking for more and more stuff, and frankly, it's a good idea because they got so embarrassed by these high-profile cases they lost, like O.J. Simpson and Robert Blake,
right,
that they just don't want to repeat history. So they are really spending a lot of time now. They've gone back to the drawing board. They thought that they'd have it done a month ago. It now looks like it's going to be before Christmas, or if they can't wrap it up before the holiday, what I'm told is it'll be the first part of next year. But time is on their side. They don't have to rush it. And the last thing they want to do is have an incomplete investigation where suddenly the defense goes wild.
But
I got to tell you, this is not an issue of if now. It's an issue of when. I mean, they are going to charge this guy.
So somebody's going to be in his office and they're going to say, "Yeah, I need to see you in January." And he's going to go, "Probably not available in January." February?
That's my arraignment. Can we change that?
Not February, not March.
By the way, speaking of Michael Jackson, and you asked about the American Music Awards, a couple of things from last night. First of all, Michael Jackson was nominated for Artist of the Year. He lost to Taylor Swift last night, which I just think is hysterical.
Why? Because she's alive?
Because Taylor had a better year than he did. Oh. Janet Jackson opened the show with the most lackluster performance, and I was sitting there thinking, Janet is not enjoying this. The audience is not enjoying this. Why is this even on the TV? And I guess it was their attempt to try to tie into some of the Jackson mystique. Jermaine was there picking up the awards that Michael won, and I saw my first commercial last night for the Jackson 5 reality show. I don't know when it airs, but it's going to be very, very soon. Harvey, you think there's anyone who cares to see what Tito is going to be doing over the holidays?
Isn't it the Jackson 4 reality show now?
And Jermaine went up with his kids and accepted an award from it. You know what? I feel the same way you do. And listen, Michael Jackson was an amazing performer. But the fact is, the last year of his life, which is, I guess, the time that you look at the American Music Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
What did he really do?
It's, you know what? This happens all the time at award shows where they just go, we feel like we should give him something because of his, you know.
But that's the thing. It's like, this is not like lifetime achievement. If you want to do that, fine.
Right.
But if you're really doing in the moment, it's so transparent. I agree with you. I mean, I just thought, because I watched a little bit of it and I just couldn't, you know.
When I saw the ad for this reality show, I thought with Michael, who is the center of the family, the talented one, with him out of the picture, who cares what the other Jackson kids are doing? You know what I mean?
You want to talk about, here's the reality, if you want reality here. The reality is that these brothers are not included in the will. And Joe Jackson is not included in the will.
Right.
So it's about money now. They want to make money. And, yeah, you know, while everything's in the spotlight, this is their window. But when everything goes away and the only thing left is they're going to release a bunch of Michael Jackson songs and they won't see any of that money, they realize this is the time for the gravy train to jump on board. And that's why they're all jockeying.
Would you go so far as to say this is it? No?
No, I wouldn't. That was a bad one. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com is the site. TMZ Television. Check your local listings. It is it's a great show. It's a great site. Thank God you have live coverage of Aaron Andrews accused peeper on the site right now. I can't wait to see that this morning.
That's a creepy, scary case. Apparently, this guy did it to another woman before Aaron Andrews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No,
let's not judge him too harshly. Who can blame him? All right, Harvey. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good to talk to you.
To find out more ways to prevent the H1N1 from spreading, visit cdph.ca.gov. It's brought to you by the California Department of Public
Health.
I'm
sorry, I didn't get that.
No,
can you do
one more time for me?
cdph.ca.gov.
I'm never going to get there.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:53.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us for a look at what's going on in the world of showbiz. Hey, Ralph.
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend, and today is no different. The Twilight Saga, New Moon, in its debut weekend, came up with $140 million.
Which is more than 99.9% of movies that are released ever make in the entire run in the theater.
Right, in their entirety. Only two movies have ever made more money in a weekend, The Dark Knight and Spider-Man 3. The only two movies have ever done better, so congratulations.
Yeah.
The Blind Side was number two at the box office, made $34.5 million, which, in any other weekend, would have been number one by a long shot.
It was a monster.
Yeah, almost $35 million.
Well, there's a lot of pent-up demand for Sandra Bullock. She hadn't had a movie out in 4 weeks.
I know. This is her eighth movie this year, so... 2012 was third, Planet 51 was fourth, A Christmas Carol was fifth. Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire, was sixth.
Ralph, why wouldn't they call that Push?
I think there's already a movie called Push, Kevin.
It just came out, right?
Just last year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, people who could push stuff with their minds.
But they can't come up with anything better than that? Precious, based on, blah, blah, blah.
Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire?
That's the official title of the movie.
Yeah.
Dumb.
You guys hear anything? I was on vacation, so I was a little out of the loop. You hear anything about the Precious sex tape that's going around?
Stop it. You're disgusting. You know a chick is fat when her forehead is fat. That's my ultimate judge for fat.
Is it?
If your forehead is fat, you're fat.
I haven't seen the movie, but by all accounts, it is an astonishing performance. And she's very, very talented.
Huge.
Yeah, she's
and
a big girl.
And her forehead is fat.
She is
not...
Is
that how much fat you have to put on your body for your forehead to start getting fat? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't.
Then shut up!
I don't know.
Do you guys think Leonard Nimoy has ever photographed her?
She's not that fat.
Not that fat. All right, she got a way
to go. You know who else got a fat forehead? Kodo's buddy. Were you watching 24/7 at all on HBO?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Miguel Cotto, the boxer, has a buddy of his who runs his production company or whatever. Yeah. Fat forehead.
Yeah.
Big fat hanging down over his eyes from his forehead. Too fat. The forehead's fat.
That is...
Fat.
That is extreme.
That's fat.
Because there's a lot of other places the fat could go first.
And it does.
And then it does.
But then it runs out of room.
Right.
Your body runs out of room for fat. So it's got to start going to your forehead. It's the only place fat has left to grow on your body is your forehead.
And then your ears.
So you're saying not thin.
I'm just saying you got to be fat to have a fat forehead. That's the ultimate test of fat.
Oh, what's the word? Fat.
Yes. Men Who Stare at Goats was seventh. Couples Retreat, eighth. The Fourth Kind was nine. Law Abiding Citizen was 10. So there's your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Little Bronx Mowgli Wentz had a birthday over the weekend.
Woo!
For those of you who don't know, his mommy is Ashley Simpson. His dad is Pete Wentz of Fallout Boy.
Formerly Fallout Boy.
It was a big day with lots of family and friends. And a surprise visit from SpongeBob SquarePants. And reportedly, Bronx said his first words at the party, much to the delight of everyone there,
He said, "Mommy sucked on Melrose Place."
That, those were his first words. He put it together in a sentence.
Out of the mouth of babes, Kevin. Off time come gems.
That is impressive.
Britney Spears' ex-boyfriend Adnan Galib,
Glendale, bro,
is spending some time behind bars this morning. A Los Angeles judge sentenced him to 45 days in jail on Friday.
For what?
Well, here's the thing. He, he got that restraining order put against him by Jamie Spears to keep him away from Britney.
Right, Britney's dead.
Well, someone else slapped him with yet another restraining order, and he tried to evade the process server by speeding away in his car. And then they got into an accident. And then Adnan left the scene. He fled the scene of the accident.
Wow.
Yeah. Turns out the police don't like that. So he got 45 days in jail, and he's got to do another 45 days of community service, and he'll have 3 years probation. So not a good day for Adnan Galib.
Bro.
Not to mention his name's Adnan Galib.
Yeah.
But he can give you a hell of a deal on a refi.
Yes. And a cell phone. And if you like the smell of Drakkar Noir. Michael Jackson.
Dead.
You guys are just talking to Harvey Levin about Michael. And
fat.
He's not fat. He had a thin forehead. The glove. The famous spangled glove. The sequined glove that he wore when he first did the moonwalk on Motown's 25th anniversary special in 1983.
Right.
Went up for auction this weekend in New York City. How much do you think somebody paid for that sequined glove? This is the one, by the way, he did the first televised moonwalk.
Yeah, that was the Motown 25 special.
Neil
right?
Armstrong and him came up off the castle. He was wearing this particular glove.
It's impossible for me to guess that.
I love this collectible story because I'm a collectible guy. I love the collectibles.
20 grand?
Oh, I'm saying $350,000.
Bingo! Right on the money! $350,000!
Wow.
Psycho Mike.
Did you read that? Somebody gets the paper. You're just acting like you do. All
right. We should play Lick Psycho.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He was right on the spot there. Yeah. $350,000 for that.
Wow.
Was purchased by a hotel executive from Hong Kong named Hoffman Ma. He is going to put it on display at his hotel in Macau.
Hey.
Apparently he's got a hotel casino in Macau. And he's going to put the glove on display.
But wouldn't you look at that and go, that's probably one of 100.
Michael, it was. He had a lot of sequined gloves. But this was the one he was wearing when he did the moonwalk.
Okay.
That
maybe.
Makes it special.
Yeah.
In Macau. Today's celebrity birthday is Miley Cyrus. Turns 17 years old today. Happy birthday,
Miley. I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV.
And
showed her concert.
Right.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
Right. Yeah.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked.
Oh,
it was really good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap practically.
Oh.
She's hosting, I guess, the award, the Teen Awards.
No.
Okay, all right, Rodney, steady.
Enough. I am Ralph Garman, and I am creeped out.
Hey!
Yeah! Yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 9:14.
Did I just, it's a Kevin and Bean show on a Monday, did I just hear someone mention Adam Carolla's butt? Have they been added to Night Number 2, or is that still just a rumor?
That's
very excited about
unconfirmed
that.
Unconfirmed rumor.
The Wheel of Bad Animal Voice is coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's welcome our friend Miss Cleo to the studio.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and with a clock, and it's and clock similar to clock with a clock.
Good times.
Here's what this topic is. Being on this show can ruin your life sometimes, and you know what this is like when you work with a group of people and you have inside jokes,
right?
And then you spend so much time with those people that it just becomes a part of your vocabulary, and you just start maybe even make joke. You don't mean, but this is just the inside joke, and then you don't realize you're out in the world away from that group,
mm-hmm.
and you continue to make those jokes, and people look at you like you are crazy.
Hey, we took calls a few weeks ago from listeners who we have ruined their lives because they'll be they'll be in class or something like that, and a history teacher will mention Ho Chi Minh or something, and they go, "Hi!"
Yeah.
And they don't realize that you just don't do that in public with people listening because it's offensive and rude.
There was a time when we used to boo everything.
Boo!
Boo! And then, funny, everybody gets it. But then when you're by yourself and you're out someplace and you boo loudly, people are like, we need to call the mental health authorities. It's just not, and you might not even, like, I didn't even think about, you know, I'm in the wrong crowd or whatever. You just get so used to it. So Miss Cleo has a story about being at her other job and saying something that may have been a little bit inappropriate.
Just a little.
Just because she works in this environment and she's used
What is your other job, Miss Cleo? I didn't even know you had one.
I work at a kids' clothing store.
Okay.
So what could go wrong there?
So the other day, a mom and her two young little girls were walking into the fitting room, and the mom says, all right, girls, let's get naked. And I don't even know. It was like word vomit. It just came out. I was like, yeah.
because we've said that 100,000 times last month here, and you weren't even thinking. You were thinking about the age. You heard get naked, and your response was, yeah. And then you went, oh, no.
I stopped dead in my tracks, and I instantly thought, okay, I'm fired. Great. This is the end of
Well, let me just put it this way. And I don't know what was going through the mom's mind, but it doesn't instill you with confidence if you're shopping at a store where now you think your salesperson is a child molester.
Right. Thank God she laughed it off.
Wait to see your seven-year-old take her top off.
She laughed it off because she didn't think you meant it, or she understood it was a mistake.
Yeah, look, if it had been like two boys with the mom, or if I had been a guy, I think that situation could have gone seriously wrong. But the fact that it was a young mom, and I literally just said it as I was walking.
So maybe she thought you were joking or whatever.
Or
but it came out of your mouth before you had any idea what was going on.
Like word vomit, just right away it came out.
Well, that happens. It's impossible to avoid. That's what she said, too. There are just situations where completely inappropriate, but somebody says something, and you're forced to say that's what she said. You can't. You become Michael Scott on The Office. You can't stop yourself.
I'll never again be able to hear the word Eric.
I know.
Yeah, Eric.
I do it all the time.
Right. And then when you're in public, you say that, and people go, what? Why
does he have Tourette's?
Why did you just say those words?
Oh, God. It's the worst.
So Miss Cleo said, yeah. You're so lucky you have a job here and there.
Yeah, I really thought I was fired that instant. That was the first thing that went through my head. All right, better start looking for a second job.
Yeah, it's a good time for that, too. So that's
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. One more look at Showbiz with Ralph Garman. That's coming up in about 50 minutes. First, though, Ralph, I'm so glad you're in here. We're getting ready to call the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, that's why I'm in here. I'm thinking,
we don't call it. We spin the wheel. We have a lot of funny stories.
You spin the wheel, then you make some phone call, and then you say, we're going to talk to an expert about this, and then it ends up being the animal on the other end of the phone, and everyone...
Comedy ensues.
And everyone cries a little bit, I think.
Well, wait till you hear what's on the wheel. I think you're going to change your tune. No, but wait till you hear, because there's some great stuff. And it could land on any of these. We could call any of these people for more information about the story.
And none of them will be good, is what I'm saying.
Oh, how dare you. Pimpin' Chimps, giant Japanese jellyfish, Russian dog girl... Percy the albino squirrel, rock throwing elephant, Japanese attack bear, Argentinian mega colony ants, acid spitting Mongolian death worm, renegade kangaroo.
These are all not interesting.
Are you kidding me? I'm fat. I want to know every single one of those stories. I wish that the guy on the other end of the phone could hand the phone to the next guy to tell us about the other story. I want to hear them all.
Well, that will never happen.
It's time for the wheel, people.
It's time for the wheel of a bad animal voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices.
Right. I don't get the What's the relation of that to this, what we're doing here?
Ask Brian Setzer.
Who recorded that?
Yeah, he did it for us.
All right. Let's spin the wheel.
Here we go.
It's
your last chance to get out.
Very exciting. Oh, Pimpin' Chimps.
Yeah.
This story's been on the wheel.
Where are you going, Ralph? Wait, you want to hear about this. Don't leave.
This story's been on the wheel for a long time.
Yeah, what's going on with the Pimpin' Chimps? This sounds fascinating.
The thing that they have determined at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany.
All right.
I'm never going to try that again. Is that there are female chimps who will trade sex for meat.
Really?
Yes. So
oh my gosh.
If a male chimp has meat for her to eat, and that's not code.
You're talking about actual food.
Right. She will
it's not a euphemism,
she
right.
will have sex with that chimp in return for the meat.
Wow, I wish it worked that way with humans. You should get chicks just by feeding them. That'd be awesome.
They're chimp whores.
Seriously.
So what we thought we would do is try and get a hold of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany, and we have somebody on hold that we can talk to. Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, Kevin and Bean, we're on the radio. We have an interview set up. I guess we don't because we were just calling them on the fly.
Right.
We don't have an interview set up. No. Who is this, please?
My name's Lancelot.
Lancelot.
Yeah.
And you're a researcher there with the chimps?
No, I ain't no damn researcher. I'm a pimp.
You're a pimp.
I'm a chimp pimp.
Oh. Oh, you're one of the I get you now. Okay. So you're in charge of the girls that trade sex for food.
That's right. Bitches got to earn.
Oh my gosh.
Bitches got to earn or bitches get hurt.
So you're saying the female chimps trade sex for meat and then you get a cut?
That's right.
Oh, all right.
Girls bring the meat back to Lancelot.
Right.
And that way, nobody gets hurt. Everything be everything then.
Okay.
And then right. I divvy up a little bit of meat for the girls because got to keep them looking good.
Sure.
Got to keep that fine chimp ass in shape.
Right.
Don't want no damn skinny chimp ass.
Right.
Because that don't bring in no meat.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And then I keep the rest for my own self.
Yeah, and on the other hand, you don't want them to eat all the meat and then be fat, because then the next thing you know, they get a fat forehead.
That's right. You don't want that.
You don't want that at all, right?
No, because there ain't no meat in that.
Now,
that chimp say, I'm not giving no damn meat for no chimp with a fat forehead.
Certainly.
I got to keep them looking good.
Now, how many?
Hold on a second. Hey, Lucille, you ain't making no meat that way. Walk that street, bitch!
Wow,
you're tough, Lancelot.
Don't make me go around here again. Don't make me drive by this corner again.
Oh, don't do that.
Lancelot,
no
you're
bitch.
You're I'm what? Amazed.
What do you
at,
want?
I'm amazed that A, you speak English, and the researchers aren't spending any time on that, and B, that you can drive a car.
Yeah, well, it's not just a car. It's an Escalade.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Of course it is. Very
this
nice.
You got to roll with style.
This thing is really just the best you can get. And I got blocks on the pedals.
Right.
Because my legs are short. Because I'm a chimpanzee.
Now, chimpanzee.
How many chimp whores do you have in your stable?
I got me about 20, 22 whores.
Wow.
Oh, wow. A lot of work.
And they're all earners. They're all top earners for me.
Right.
They all bring me lots of meat.
Right.
And then they come home to Lancelot.
There you go.
The little chimp steak. Yeah, little chimp steak for the mamas.
I think we get it.
Yeah.
Now, I hate to ask, but is it hard out there for a chimp?
Don't. If you hated to ask, you wouldn't be asking.
Let him ask that again, please.
All right.
Nope, I already got it out. I'm not going to say it again.
He wanted to ask, is it hard out there for a chimp? That's what he said.
You damn son of a bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to find you and cut your ass.
Uh-oh.
I'll do it.
I want you to.
I got me a banana sharpened into a shiv right here. I will take you out.
I withdraw the question. Thanks, Lancelot.
Okay.